believes God's word, believes to receive God's word as soon as we speak it and release God's word. God-type faith means we going beyond our five physical senses and reaching the realm that's not seen. Amen? And today, what I want to talk to you about, out of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and I want to talk to you today about the amazing power of simple faith.
Amen.
The amazing power of simple faith. And, you know, if you're desperately hungry for God, and if you're taking that hunger to Him in prayer, you can expect to hear His clear invitation to draw near to Him, to come in closer. The question is, will you accept that invitation to move in His direction in order to experience a greater intimacy with God? See, it's a question of positioning. It's a question of placement and direction in regards to the focus of your heart and of your life. And the response is all up to you. Because we can actually be in the vicinity of God, yet hold back and not draw near to Him. I'm going to say that again. You can actually be in the vicinity of God and still hold back and not draw near to God.
Amen.
See, the reality is that God is here right now.
Amen.
See, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in His name, there am I in the midst of you. So based on that scripture, Christ is right here. Am I right about it?
Yes.
He's right here. So you can be in the vicinity of God and not draw close to Him. So what I wanted to do is, if we're looking at Mark chapter 5, and I want to start reading from verse 21. And it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him, and He was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet and begged Him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies to the point of death. Come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.'" Now, as Jesus crossed back over the Sea of Galilee, it's thought that He ended up in Capernaum. And the boats were, as He was traveling along by boat, the people were traveling along by shore, and they were following Him. So they met Him at the seashore, and they began to press up against Him, and it was like a mob scene. And they were pressing up against Him, and then this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, came and fell at Jesus' feet and asked Him if He would come and lay hands on his daughter. But see, Jesus was actually on His way to heal Jairus' daughter. So He said, "Let's go to your house and we'll heal your daughter." But as He was on His way there, He was interrupted. And as He, you know, by this woman who touches Him at the hem of His garment. So He was on His way to do a healing, but then this woman comes and touches the hem of His garment. As Jesus was walking that day, He was being thronged by the crowd. And when she did that, her life was instantly, completely, and permanently transformed. There are those here today who need a transformation.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
You need your life to be radically changed and transformed so transformation can happen. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a matter of, if you just reach out and touch Jesus. Let's look at verse 25. Now, a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see this multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions." This woman, she was what they call a diseased woman. And in verse 25 tells us that she had an issue of blood flow. And we're told that that issue of blood flow literally means she was hemorrhaging or bleeding from what you may call a uterine hemorrhage. She was a very sick woman. And she had a constant bleeding issue that couldn't seem to be stopped. The word "issue" there means the flowing of blood. Amen? And in her case, I like that word "issue" because she had some issues. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? We got some issues.
Yes.
And this woman had some issues. And we can say that with certainty that this woman had issues because she faced more than just a medical problem. Her agonies were, verse 26 says, "And she suffered many things from many physicians and has spent all that she had and was no better, but in fact she grew worse." A constant flow of blood that, and this would have caused this woman untold sufferings. She suffered physically from this constant flow of blood loss. This poor woman would have been weak and anemic.
Yes.
She would have had been pale in her skin tone. She would have had no energy at all. And the least effort would have just worn her out. And in some translations, it says that there was she was plagued with an issue. And that's the same word translated meaning whip. It's elsewhere in the scripture. Her disease was like a scourge, constantly beating her down, day by day. She was suffering medically. We're told that she had tried all these different remedies and all the physicians, from all the physicians of her day, and we're told that she suffered under their care. An example of the medical techniques that they were trying out on this woman, I said they were trying out on her, came from what they call the Tolmad, which is a book of different remedies and laws from their times. And there were 11 remedies prescribed in this Tolmad, and some of them were potions that were mixed together. Most of them were simple, superstitious nonsense. Everything from carrying various concoctions around in a little pouch that they would give her, and frightening her, and having her stand over a ditch, and they would come behind her and say, "Arise from this flux," trying to scare the crap out of her. One remedy, even called for the woman to carry around the ear corn taken from a white donkey. I mean, it's hard to imagine the kinds of indignities that these doctors put her through. She not only suffered medically, but she was suffering socially. She most certainly was not married, because through her physical contact, she would have defiled her husband. And if she had been married, her husband would have probably divorced her because of the stigma that was attached to her. She couldn't walk around with the others because of the danger of defilement. And this reduced her life to begging for scraps on the outskirts of the village. And if she had been married, her husband would have, he would have, you know, probably been fighting for her life on a constant basis from the ridicule that she was facing.
Right.
Her condition left her out on the fringes of the society of that day. So she had to sneak around, as she was sneaking around on this day. She also suffered religiously. Because according to the Levitical law, it tells us that when a woman had a discharge of blood, that she was considered ceremonially unclean.
Right.
Amen? And she had to be separated from the community. Mm-hmm. Right? And everything that she touched and everyone that she touched was unclean. Even after her discharge of blood had ended, a period of uncleanness continued for an additional 7 days. This woman was isolated. And Mark tells us the flood of blood had probably never entirely stopped, for that long, which meant her time of ceremonial cleanness never came. And all this had gone on, y'all, for 12 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Socially, she became an outcast. In fact, it had gotten so bad, when you read this story, they don't even tell us her name. She's called the woman with the issue of blood. She's nameless in her society.
Mercy.
She can't even come in. But then it says in verse 27, one day, verse 27, she heard about Jesus. And she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I mean, no wonder this woman used this approach. Her medical problems were rather embarrassing kind of illness. It wasn't a condition that you would go around discussing openly. And in fact, you would be forced to take pains and try to keep it from being noticed. But the scripture said that she heard about Jesus.
Yes.
And she had to get to Jesus. So she came up behind him to touch the hem of his garment. As she was suffering medically and socially and religiously, now she's suffering emotionally. Since the Bible tells us that she had been this way for 12 years. And considering the lifespan of that day, it's safe to assume that she probably had been this way since after puberty. She's lived her life moving from one rejection to another rejection. She's lonely, isolated, and depressed.
Mercy.
And desperate. I mean, this was a desperate woman. I mean, this issue had gone on for 12 years.
Yeah.
But you know, there's something about getting desperate.
Yes.
See, in our desperation, it'll make you do some unexpected things to get to God.
Amen.
Yes.
It'll make you want to draw near. There's something about, I don't know if you hear, there's something about getting desperate. Being in a hopeless situation and in grave need of help when you've tried everything you can think of and every piece of money that you have you used and you're still not better. In fact, you've grown worse. Yet you still come up short in life, and your life is still in shambles. There's something about this situation that brings God's truth into focus as never before. This woman spent every dime that she had. And those doctors' useless remedies hadn't helped her. All they did was drain her bank account dry. She's been left penniless and destitute. After all these years, all the doctors, all the times they had hoped that this remedy would be the one or that remedy would be the one for her, she's come to a place where she knows she's living under a death sentence now. And she's still not any better. But she's still... She knows that she will die from this disease. What she has, she knows it will kill her. And the life in her is literally draining out of her body. Little by little. Day by day. And I wonder how many of us can identify with this woman today. Some of our lives, we've been emotionally suffering.
Mercy.
We've been suffering maybe from some anxiety. Maybe you were suffering from some kind of depression. Maybe it's low self-esteem, or maybe it's in some kind of insecurity or something. Maybe it's financial devastation. Maybe it's some kind of, maybe someone touched you when you were a child.
Mercy.
You're suffering.
Mercy.
And you went, spent all your money going from this doctor to this psychiatrist to that psychologist to that therapist. You spent all your money and you're none the better. In fact, you're going worse.
Mercy.
This is a picture of two types of people. And this woman paints a clear picture of everyone who does not know Christ as a Savior. The lost are also identified by a blood disease.
Mercy.
They inherited this disease from Adam.
Yes.
The scripture says that all have sinned. And Adam, all have sinned.
Yes.
It's the disease of sin. This is a condition that has plagued the lost person since he or she entered into the world. We were born into sin. And this is a condition made no better despite all the efforts of the sinner. And many lost people spend their entire lives searching for meaning and help for their condition, but instead of getting better, they only get worse. They only get harder in their hearts and more deeply rooted in their sins, and all their efforts of self-improvement and religion will not help their condition. This poor woman was in sad shape.
Yes.
But she wasn't nearly as bad off as that person who's not saved.
Come on now.
She's merely headed in the grave, but they're headed to an eternity of hell.
Mercy.
And then she pictures a believer who's laboring under a heavy burden. And many of God's children are discouraged and defeated today. Yet you've tried everything in your power. You tried to get better on your own. You tried everything that you know to handle that problem. You read all the books. You listened to all the preachers. You went to this seminar and that seminar. But you know better.
Mercy.
Your life is just as messed up as it ever was. And if that's anyone here today, I encourage you to just listen in. Just
come on.
Hang in here with me.
Yes. Yes.
Because as we watch this poor woman get the help she needs, I want to let you know that God is here to help you.
Amen.
With your needs.
Yes.
It says in verse 21 that she had a desire. Verse 27, it says that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. See, this woman heard the witness that Jesus Christ was in town. Somewhere, this poor woman heard about Jesus. Someone witnessed to her that before he got to this side of the river, that he was on that side of the river and he was healing all manner of sickness and disease. Casting out devils. And someone told her that he was coming on this side of town.
Yes. Yes, come on now.
And she heard about Jesus.
Yes.
And I believe that she said, I don't care how long this has been going on in my life, I gotta get to where Jesus is.
Right.
See, because Jesus, the Bible says, is the Word.
Yes.
She heard about the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God. The Word was Jesus. And the Word was with God. And she heard about the Word. And she said, I got to get to where the Word is.
Yes.
See, a lot of times we have problems and we sit at home and we won't get to the Word.
Yes.
We need to get to the Word.
Yes.
Because it's only the Word.
Yes.
That will rescue you.
Amen.
But regardless of where she heard about it, she knew she had to get to him. And she came to realize that Jesus was her only hope. And I don't believe today that there's people that believe that Jesus is your only hope. We still don't believe that. And it's a sign, because we have all the signs, because when something arises in our life, Jesus is the last place that we run to.
Mercy.
She believed it in her heart that if she could just get to him, she would be healed. She said, if I could just get to Jesus, I will be made whole.
Yes.
And she displayed her determination to get to Jesus by approaching him in the crowd. As she elbowed her way through the crowd, there was a multitude of people there. But this woman was elbowing people to get to her healing. And as she was elbowing people to get to the place that she knew that she would receive salvation, she also knew that she was causing ceremonial defilement. For everyone that she touched, because under the law it says that whoever she touched was going to be unclean. So she was taking a great risk. I said she was taking a risk. If she had been recognized, can you imagine what she would have been subjected to? Humiliation. The crowd might have gotten all worked up and beat her up, probably with a stone to death according to the law. But for her, it was a risk worth taking. She believed Jesus would heal her. See, she had to be determined, because by the very nature of her disease, it would have taken all the energy she had to drag herself out of bed. See, sometimes you don't want to give up. Am I right? Come on, man. You don't want to give up. You want to just roll over back in bed again, but you gotta drag yourself to the place where Jesus is.
Yeah.
If there's only two people here, we know according to the word that Jesus is there.
Amen.
And if Jesus is there, we know that Jesus can heal all manner of sickness and disease. Then I'm going to do everything in my power to get to where Jesus is. This woman was desperate. And you know, I ask you this question. Do you understand that Jesus is the only hope that you have? I mean, if you're here today and you need to get to Jesus, He's right here. Right now, He's here.
Yes.
The scripture says in Acts that He's the only, in Acts 4, that He's the only source of our salvation. Nor is there any other. Nor is there salvation in any other, the scripture says. John 14:6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and what? There are some who are saved, but like this woman, are burdened and defeated. And need to touch Him. Just need to touch Jesus. And the sooner that we come to realize that Jesus is the only person who can help you, the sooner we can get the help that we need. It boggles my mind that if Jesus is your only help that we need. And the scripture in Matthew 11:28 tells us to come unto Him and you will find rest. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let me read it.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 11. It says, verse 28, come to me. Verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28. Mm-hmm. Says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. He says, come unto me.
Yes.
If you're worn out, beaten down, you need help, He says, come unto me. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 says this. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, it says that casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. I mean, so if He's asking us to come to Him, why should you carry the burden around? Why should you carry that burden one more step? Why should you fight that battle even one more minute when He says, come to me? And lay it on me, cast it on me. Why would you go through it one more second of the day, one more week, one more month, or 12 years for that matter? He says, bring it to me.
Yes.
My shoulders are broad. Why should you live defeated another day? You don't have to do that. He says, come to Jesus. This woman came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She knew, if I can just get to him, that I will be made whole. And we know that because Mark 4, verse 28 says, for she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be made well, whole. Amen. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up at the root, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of the afflictions. Immediately, as soon as she touched the hem of his garment. And in those days, they wore shawls. The priest wore these shawls that had these long tassels attached to them, and they hung down almost to the floor. So watch this. In order for her to touch the hem of his garment, she had to go low.
Come on now.
She had to get down on her knees. So can you just see that picture of her crawling through the crowd? She probably was on her hands and knees, like, I just gotta, if I could just touch that little tassel, I would be made whole. That, her deliverance was, it was powerful. That's what it was. I mean, when she drew near enough to and reach out with her hands must have been trembling like that. Oh my God, do you feel? Do you understand what I'm saying? Her hands must have been like, I gotta.
Amen.
I gotta touch the hem of his garment. And she probably touched one of those tassels that I'm just was speaking about. And then in her, that very instant, the scripture said, immediately her disease dried up at the root.
Yes.
Reminds me of that fig tree we were talking about last week. In Mark chapter 11. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, he said, it be dried up at the root, and for it, and no man shall eat of it ever again. When God heals you,
yes,
he dries it up at the root,
yeah,
and you never have to worry about it again. She received what none of the doctors and their costly remedies could ever give her. This woman was healed instantly. And the Bible says that she felt the change in her. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
When Jesus touches your body, you feel the transformation instantly.
Amen.
It's an instant transformation. And you know that you know that you know that you've been touched by Jesus.
Amen.
And you have to never worry about whatever that issue was again.
Right.
She touched Jesus and she was instantly transformed into a holy woman. Not only was her deliverance powerful, but it was personal.
Come on.
It said as soon as she touched him, she knew that she was healed. Jesus knows what happened. Verse number 30 says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her and made it, who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. As soon as she touched him, she knew. God knew. Jesus knew that someone had just touched him. And here's the thing. He even knew it before it happened because he willed it.
Mm. Amen.
He knew you were going to come to him.
Yeah.
Mm. Come on now.
He knows that virtue had gone out of him. And that word virtue means power. And that's where we get the word dynamite and dynamic from in our English language today. And see, Jesus knows what happened, and he asked the question, who touched my clothes?
Mm.
And I believe that when he asked the question, the disciples were kind of sarcastic, like, what do you mean? All these people around here, not anybody could have touched me. He said, no, somebody touched me.
Amen.
See, before she was nobody.
Come on now.
She was an outcast.
Yeah.
She didn't have a name. But then she touched Jesus and she became somebody.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
There was people all around him. And many touched him. But only one touched him with God-type faith.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
It was God-type faith. It was the faith of God. It was that type of God faith.
Come on.
That when she knew, when she reached, when she heard about him, she said, I got to get to him. She knew that was God type faith. And she believed at that instant when she spoke it out of her mouth that if I could just get to him, I'm going to be healed. She, that was God type faith.
Amen.
And Jesus sought after her because he wanted to give her more than just physical healing. He wanted to move her beyond the superstitious faith that we sometimes have. He wanted to bring her to a place of rescue and salvation. And when Jesus spoke to this woman, do you notice that the scripture says that she fell to her feet in fear? Fell to his feet in fear. And I believe the reason why she came behind him and touched him instead of coming to him openly was she was afraid of rejection. Remember, she had been rejected all of her life.
Right.
She must have expected Jesus to lash out at her for touching him. Her touch would have made him ceremonially unclean. But she didn't have to fear that. Jesus was not interested in humiliating. He was not interested in driving her away from his presence. He wasn't interested in preaching her a sermon on uncleanness of the law. He was merely interested in helping her with her problem. And Jesus wants you to help you with your problem,
Amen.
With your issues, but we got to come to him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
She was different.
Jesus.
And she wasn't ashamed to tell others about it. And that's what Paul says. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. You got to tell. When God does something for you, you got to tell somebody. He was actually on his way to heal another woman, another young girl. But then he met this young lady. And Jesus had a way of making her feel like she was the only one that mattered. And see, when you need to get to Jesus, I don't care who in here. How stank-faced you get when you feel the presence of God.
Yeah.
And you get that stank face on and you get ready to cry. I know I do it and I don't care. Because I'm trying to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Man, that's what this one was like. And he made her feel that way. There could be 1,000 people in this room, but Jesus has a way of making you feel like you're the only one.
Yes.
To him, the woman and her need were more important than anything else. She was, for that moment, the focus of his attention. This woman who was outcast, uncared for, unwanted, had caught the eyes of Jesus. And God touched her because she exercised simple, childlike, God-type faith. He said, "Woman, because of your faith, you've been made whole." Look at this last scripture, verse 34. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be continually healed."
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, what profound words those are.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
His words confirmed what she already knew happened. He called her daughter. See, she didn't have a name. We're told that she didn't even have a name, but he just called her daughter.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the only time, listen, this is the only time Jesus ever calls a female by this name.
Come on now.
He says, "Daughter." That name signified that she's in a different relationship now. It's a word of tenderness. It's a word of peace and acceptance. See, she got more than just physical healing.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
All her life, this woman was an outcast. A nobody.
Mercy.
Living in isolation and loneliness.
Mercy.
But now she hears that she's been taken in by God. And her faith brought her there. Her faith brought her to this soul-converting relationship with God. One minute she was an outcast, the next minute she's in the family of God. It happens just like immediately.
Jesus.
That word "whole" means saved throughout the New Testament. It means to be rescued from all harm and danger. To be kept safe and sound. Yes, she got a whole lot more than she bargained for that day. And just like this one, all those who came to Jesus get far more than what you bargained for.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times we don't understand all the complexities and the nuances of theology, but when our little faith reaches out to him, and responds by giving us everything that heaven has. You know, when Christ came preaching the kingdom, we got the king and the kingdom.
Yes.
Everything that belonged to Christ now belongs to us.
Yes, come on now. Yes.
We have a new home when we come to him. Heaven is our home.
Yes.
We become heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation."
Yes. Yes.
We become free from the power of sin. We've been reconciled to God. Fully forgiven. Fully redeemed. And I like he tells her at the end of verse 34, he says, "Go in peace." That word lets her know that she's done the right thing in coming to Christ. Because any other man in that crowd would have been offended, angered, and had this woman who was diseased with this issue of blood had touched him. But that wasn't the case for Jesus.
Right. Thank you.
See, he wasn't afraid of being ceremonially unclean.
Amen.
Or defiled. He wasn't concerned about that because no sickness and no disease can touch Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. She had already been healed. And she knew it. And then his final words to her was, "Thy faith has made you whole." And it really drives home the fact that she was finally and truly free from her issue. She was healed and life would never be the same again. This woman experienced healing that day. And not because she touched his garment, but because she exercised God-type faith.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
She believed in his power. Mm-hmm. And her faith touched his power.
Yes.
And her power and his power changed her life.
Yes.
Mm. Is there anyone in here that needs to get to Jesus today? If there's anybody that needs to get to Jesus today, I'm asking you to come to the altar. Come to the altar because he's here today.
Amen.
He's willing to help you. He's willing to help us with whatever issues we may be dealing with, whatever difficult battles we're dealing with. Jesus is our answer.
Yes.